Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that we know that God hears our prayers? And not only does he hear them, he answers them. Thank you, Michael, for playing that. He hears our prayers. I cried to him. He heard me, and he answered. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Are you glad to be here today? Well, tell somebody. Tell somebody. I said tell somebody, and here you are telling everybody. So, no, I'm messing with everybody, somebody. Thank you. We're going to be speaking today on something that is actually the foundation piece of our Christian walk. It's misunderstood a lot of times. It's not done a lot of times in our Christian walk. And we really need to catch hold of it. Would you like to know what it is? Forgiveness. How many of you know that, yeah, sometimes we struggle in that very area. And that is the very bedrock of our walk. Forgiveness. Being able to forgive, being able to release the people that has hurt us, that has offended us, that has caused us pain, and give us release for that. I'm going to see if this thing will work today. Understanding forgiveness. And you know, we need to gain understanding of what forgiveness is. There's a lot of misconceptions, and because of those misconceptions, we hesitate to actually forgive people because we believe things about forgiveness that are not true. And so we're gonna look at this, and I want to let's see what is next. Let's look at this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome," that word unwholesome means corrupt or rotten. It actually is a picture of rotten fruit. Have you ever had any fruit around the house and all of a sudden it's rotten? I mean, and you reach and grab it, and instead of grabbing it, it grabs you. It grabs all of your fingers. Y'all know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, it's rotten, and it's like, wow. That's what this word unwholesome is. He said, "Let no unwholesome, let no corrupt, rotten word proceed from your mouth." Where can it not come from? From your mouth. He said, but only such a word as is good for edification, that's building up. To build up people according to the need of the moment. God has placed you in people's lives for what? The need of a moment. You may not know what that moment is. I may not know what that moment is and don't know when that time is. But when it comes, he said, when that moment comes, he's going to move on our lives, and we do not need to use any corrupt, any rotten, or any rotten fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, yes, but rotten fruit, no. He said, so it can give edification, so it can give a building up of people when you're around them, so that, watch this, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You and I are dispensers of grace. Amen. Grace is the empowerment quality of God. Yeah, he forgives and he has mercy. And but the empowerment quality of God, when he wants us to do something, he gives us grace. He empowers us to be able to do it. We're going to run into people in our lives that have an issue with what's going on in their lives in a moment. And what God is telling us in this passage, he said, I'm telling you, he's telling in this word, is that I have placed you in these places for you to give that word of grace to you, so you can say the empowering word of encouragement, of whatever, of love, of whatever it is that needs to come out, to give them that so they can be able to hear it. Isn't that awesome? Tell your neighbor, God is using you as a grace dispenser. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Now, this verse a lot of times is taken out of context, and we'll say, okay, I can do whatever I want to do, whatever I feel led to do. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and, call it the Spirit of God. Nope. That is not. See, that is religion that does that. So he said, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Well, what did he just get through talking about? Your words, using the right words. And not using the wrong words. And they said, do not grieve. The word grieve means to make sad, to not make heavy the Spirit of God. You can make the Spirit of God heavy with your words, with your communication, with how you speak to other people. Then he goes on, he said, because he is the one who sealed you for the day of redemption. He is the very seal. He is the very promise that you're born again, having the Holy Spirit inside you. He is the very promise. I'm born again. I have the Holy Spirit inside me. Amen. And then he goes on, he says this, and he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Now, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God is sandwiched in between two verses that talks about how you and I talk. So what do you think grieving the Holy Spirit is? The way you talk. The way you speak to people. You make it heavy. And what we do is he is leading us into all truth. He is leading us into places that we need to go to be able to speak to people. And when we use bitterness, when we use wrath, when we use anger and clamor and slander and words that do not build up, it saddens him. You know why? Because darkness is being sown instead of light. Darkness is being sown in our words and how we treat people. Instead of light. So that makes him heavy. Because he doesn't violate people's wills. That's the reason he gave us a free will. You know why? He wants you to choose. We're not robots. We're not. He wants us to choose. He wants us to choose not to grieve him, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And he said, put it away. And so when you look, let's look at this last verse here. It says, so if God, I'm not supposed to do this, what am I supposed to do? The next verse says, be kind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ also has what? Forgiven you. So this verse tells you how to forgive. Yes? How are you supposed to forgive? Just as Christ has forgiven you. While you were yet sinners, doing your own thing, doing what you wanted to do, he died to give forgiveness. And he offers that to everybody. He offers forgiveness to everybody. For God so loved the whole world. He didn't exempt anybody. The whole world. No matter how corrupt, how vile they are. He offered that, invited everybody to come to forgiveness. So we need to understand that how we talk to people is going to grieve the Holy Spirit, who is there to lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us and be able to empower us to be able to go do. But when we grieve him, he knows that he can't empower the darkness. He doesn't empower the darkness, the bad fruit. He doesn't empower that. It grieves him. He can't empower that. He can't. There's no grace for him to really shower on people's lives by your words. So we need to understand that this is a very powerful verse. But we need to understand this thing about bitterness. Bitterness is supposed to fold one at a time, but I guess you're gonna get them all at once. So you can look at this, you can take a snapshot of it or whatever. But see, bitterness is extremely important that we don't have. And here's some reason why. I'm going to read this verse. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Comes short of the grace of God. How so? That no root of bitterness springing up causes you trouble and it defiles many. So coming short. So bitterness, and when I'm bitter, if I don't forgive, I will begin to have bitterness. and my bitterness will forfeit the grace that I currently have to operate in. So the empowerment that he gives you, you just forfeit it. You and I just forfeit. So not don't want that. What do I want to do? I want to say what I want to say. I want to get back. I want to make them pay. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to empower that. We're on our own. And that is bad when we're on our own. I said the second thing about bitterness, it is a part of your soul. It's a part of your mind, your will, and your emotion. It's part of how you feel. You can be bitter in your feeling. I've talked to people. I said, you seem to be bitter. I'm not bitter. Oh. You know, I'm telling the reality of it. When you spot it and you tell somebody, you don't have to say you're bitter. You can say, I feel like there's bitterness here. I'm not bitter. You know, and the whole presentation of what they're doing lets you know they're bitter. Wow, they can't even talk to you without a raised level, without clamor. That's what that word clamor means. It's to have a raised level of chaos in your life that's what you spew out. When it says put away all clamor, that's what that is. It's a raised level of wanting to do what I want to do. So we begin to see that it's part of our soul. Awareness over in Job 18, awareness of bitterness is in your heart. You are aware when bitterness is in your heart, and it's not your, it's not that again. It's where? Your innermost being. Bible says you may not admit it, but you are aware of it. And if we follow the flesh, we will lie about it. Now, I'm not bitter. I don't have that. Knowing all the time that it's right here. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Don't be mad at me. You can be mad at me. You can be mad at me. But you can, matter of fact, you can be bitter. But I'd advise you not to. I advise you not to be bitter. He said bitterness is a language. It comes with words. Have you ever met a bitter person that didn't talk about it? You understand what I'm saying? When you got somebody bitter, they're going to tell somebody about it. And most of the time, they won't tell the person that actually offended them. They'll go tell other people. You know what I'm saying? They'll go tell other people about, well, so on. Pastor, well, I can't believe Pastor did that. And all of a sudden, you have floating bitterness. All the person that they're telling, they pick up the bitterness that they have. Then they wonder what's wrong with Pastor. You understand what I'm saying? So begin to understand here that bitterness has a language. The Bible says it has a language. It has words. It comes with it. Bitterness causes years of wandering. A year is just to wander about, just floating around, no direction, no purpose, and it steals your vision. So the Bible says a people without vision will flounder. They'll just flounder around. Have you ever seen anybody? Have you ever floundered around in your life before? There's a couple of honest hands. I have. I've floundered around in my life before. Come to find out there's something wrong with what's going on with me about other people. So bitterness causes years, not a few minutes, years of wandering, having no direction, no purpose, and no vision. So when you run into people like that, see if there's any bitterness in their life, because that's what that brings. Bitterness in Isaiah 38, 17 says, bitterness hinders your welfare. It hinders your well-being. And we need to capture that thing. That when he talks about the well-being, we'll talk about it in just a little bit. But when he talks about our well-being, Israel is captured and taken captive by Babylon for 70 years. And he says, okay, and Jeremiah says, all right, you need to understand something. What I want you to do, you've been held captive against your will. You're held captive. What I want you to do is pray for your captors. Pray for them that, listen to this. Are you listening? Are you listening? This is important. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just making sure you are. Pray for your captors, because when you pray for them, their welfare will go well. Pray that their welfare will go well. Pray for those that have mistreated you, that their welfare will go well. Why do I want to do that? He's because in that prayer, your welfare will come. Your welfare will be given of him, of God. Powerful principle that we often don't do. We often do not pray for the people, and we don't. We said, I hope they. Ooh. You understand what I'm saying? I hope God. David said this to God one time. Break their teeth, God. I'm telling you the truth. David said a few things to God that I'm like, I don't think I'd have said that. But truth be known, I've said worse than that. You understand what I'm saying? But he said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, here they are. They're coming out. He said, break their teeth. So now, he realized that wasn't the heart of God. But he said it, and he actually said, God, do it. So you and I can pray prayers to God that God ain't going to listen to. Because they're of the flesh and they're not of the spirit. There's something that you want that's amiss instead of wanting what the Spirit of God wants in your life. So begin to set up hinders your warfare, welfare. And Lamentations says bitterness will consume you. Have you ever run into a bitter person that wasn't consumed with it? It changes what? Everything. When you're bitter, you have a rose-colored glasses on, and everything that you look at is rose-colored. Because it consumes your life. Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 8 says bitterness is poison to you. It's like venom. As one guy, I can't think of the name. He was the one that said bitterness and resentment is like you drinking poison and waiting for the one that offended you to die. You hear that? We drink the poison of unforgiveness and bitter. We drink that poison and wait for them to suffer. Get them, God, and we start going downhill. God, what's wrong? He said, you're bitter. You get that? So he makes sure that we need to understand this. All right, so what is forgiveness? Well, you're going to see all of them at one time here. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is canceling the debt that someone has owed you. What does that mean, cancel that? You release them. You release them. You release them of whatever debt you think they owe or that they may owe. You release them. In other words, you're not holding it against them. That's what you, as Christ forgave us, as God forgave us in Christ, that's how we're to forgive. While we were what? Yet sinners. We were yet sinners. We were, you one time was a yet sinner. You hear what I'm saying? Yet sinners, he died for us. He forgave us. So, but see, this thing about releasing their debt takes away, I'm going to make them pay. That hurt me so bad, I'm going to make them pay. That ain't forgiveness. Forgiveness is a release. You're saying it ain't left up to me to make you pay. I release it. I forgive. I cancel the debt. Okay? And it also, excuse me, Jesus said this. Have you ever read the Lord's, the model prayer that he said? What does it say? Our Father. And forgive us our trespasses as, oh, big word, as what? We forgive those who trespass against us. I want his kingdom to come. Well, are you forgiven? I want his will to be done. Well, are you forgiving people or are you holding it against them? So on one hand, we want all this stuff that we think God can do, but yet we don't want to do. We want God to do without us being involved in it. And we got to make sure that we forgive people. Forgiveness is releasing, released. I released the debt that you owe. You forgive people. You don't have to go to the people and say, well, I know you owe me $100, but I'll release you. It's almost like, I release you. Like, I want to pat on the back because I released you. No, it ain't one of them things we do. You can tell people, when they say, please forgive me, what do? Forgive them. Forgiveness is removing the control of the offender over your life. Unforgiveness allows them to have control over your life. Why? Because they're controlling you with anger, with bitterness, with everything else, and all the stuff that bitterness does, they're controlling you with that. But he said, but when you forgive, don't have control over your life. Oh, it's so powerful. Forgive. Matthew says this, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there, you remember. And there, all of a sudden you're doing this deed for God, and there, you remember. Why is it there that you remember? That's God. You're bringing something to God. You're bringing an offering to God. You're bringing your worship to God. And he says, and there, you remember that a brother's offended at you. What does he say do? Leave the gift. If whatever, who's got $1,000? Never mind. I won't leave $1,000. You have your offering. I'll take $1. Never mind. I'm teasing with you. So you take this, and it's all you have, and you're really wanting to give it to God, and you're making a point to worship God with all your heart, like we've talked about last. All your, and you lay it down, and there you remember. Why is that? Because we're more sensitive to hear from God. And there you remember. And he says, when you remember, you have a brother or a sister that's offended at you. What does the Bible say? You leave this alone. Let this be. And do what? You go find that brother and that sister that you know is offended at you. You go make it right. You make reconciliation, if you can. You reconcile with your brother. He said, and once you're able to reach out and make it right, because you've done something wrong, that's the reason they're offended. He said, then you come back and do what? Then you can come back and finish up. So what is it? What is he concerned about? Is he concerned about your gift? No. He wants your gift. He wants everything you give him. But what is he concerned about? Your relationship with other people. Your relationship with other people. And that's what it is to forgive, to completely release. He said, then you can come back. The number three, forgiveness is giving a gift to yourself and to your offender. Forgiveness is giving a gift to yourself. What is that? You get out of jail. You get out of prison. You don't drink the poison. So you become free, and then you set them free of paying you back. No, he's going to pay. She's going to pay. They're going to pay. Well, they may, but it won't be what you think it needs to be. See, it'll take stress from you. It'll remove stress and anxiety from you. Forgiveness is forsaking revenge. Notice the word forsaking. So you've been done wrong and you want to get them back. Everybody wants to get them back. That's nature. That is the flesh nature. I want to get them back. I'm going to make them pay. I got mistreated, so I'm going to make it right. He said, forsake revenge. Why is that? What does God say about it? He says, never, over in Romans chapter 12, says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. What? You not taking revenge leaves room for the wrath of God to be able to come into that person's life. He can make people pay. He said, it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll make them. I'll speak to their life. I'll come into their life in such a way that repay will happen. He goes on and says this. Forgiveness is leaving ultimate justice in God's hands. Your forgiveness leaves the ultimate justice in God's hands. Do you know he can do more in just 1 minute than you and I can do in a lifetime? You understand that? So we have to trust God with that. Then he goes on over in Deuteronomy. It says he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. God is faithful, and he's without injustice. There's no injustice in him. 1 Peter 3 says, do not return what? Evil for evil. When somebody does you evil, he said, do not return evil for evil. They got you, don't you get them back. You know, I used to say this, and I still do from time to time. I said, Lord, this person might have done something. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You got me this time. But the Bible tells me not to get even. But he didn't say nothing about me getting ahead. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's just something that I say, but I don't get ahead. I really don't. But I used to use that for a lot of people. So I don't get even. The Bible says to get it, but he didn't say get ahead either. So you begin to see that in this, he said, when you do not give insult for insult or evil for evil, when you do that, you are instead supposed to give a blessing. In the southern term, not a blessing out. Everybody know what I mean? Everybody know what I mean? Are you awake? Lift your hand. Let me know you're awake. I hadn't put you to sleep yet. All right. So don't. He said you will inherit a blessing. He said because when you give a blessing for an insult, he said what will happen is you are called for this very purpose that you might inherit his blessing. An insult comes or an evil comes to your life. So instead of getting back at them, instead of evil for evil, you in turn give a blessing. I had somebody to give me a phone call shakedown. That's been a long time. A phone call shakedown. I've been called every name in the book, but there's a few of them that I didn't recognize. You know. But it was a shakedown. I mean, it really was. It was a shakedown. And actually, they hung up on me, and I'm like, now, my flesh was saying what? You ain't got to put up with that. You're a pastor. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't got to put up with that. He has no right to do you that way. So I'm saying, and Brenda knows about it. Brenda was standing there. She said, what happened? I said, hang up on me. And then just about 5 minutes later, he called back. I said, hello? And he told me who he was and all that. And I said, he said, I didn't mean to hang up on you. I wanted to say, you hit the button by accident, but I didn't go there. But it was just another way of saying I didn't hang up. But he did. He hung up on me. But anyway. But you know what changed? Nothing. Nothing changed. He gave me round two of the shakedown. So I'm like, I've learned to listen. I've learned to listen. You know, I got new hearing aids. New hearing aids. Thank God. And thank for those of you that says, you need hearing aids. Anyway, I had to, I don't know where I was going. Round two. I don't know what I was doing about hearing aids. It'll come back, I'm sure. Anyway, this thing about having hearing aids, but the thing is, I know what it was. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, 4 or 5 times. I heard you. So And I said, well, here's what I want you to do. You've done your talking. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make it right with your pastor and da, da, da. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, matter of fact, this conversation's over. He didn't even say bye this time. He hung up and he didn't call back. So I'm like, what in the world? So I went, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I gave him the truth about what he needed to do. I really did. And you know what the Lord told me to do? Are you ready? I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Send him $1,000. I rebuked the devil. I didn't call him a devil. I said, no. And I said, Lord, I need to know. I'm hearing this voice, but I need to know. He said, that's my voice. Send him $1,000. And tell him you love him. Sent him $1,000, told him I loved him, and never heard from him. But guess what? He cashed a check. but you know, see the thing is, what are you gonna do? We're gonna follow the flesh, we're gonna follow God. We're gonna get back, make him pay. He has no right. You can come up with all of that stuff. Are you going to do what God said? I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do what God said. Set me free. You understand? The whole thing about that. So we'll look at this next one. We'll look at this. Oh, my. Oh, where am I? Ultimate justice. Leave it in the hands of God. Forgiveness. Is an ongoing process. Ongoing process. Jesus said, Peter came to him and said, Lord, I got this guy to offend me. He's not just done this thing one time, not forgiven, but he's done it to me 7 times. Am I supposed to forgive him 7 times? He just does it over. Help me, Lord. Am I supposed to give him 7? And what did he say? I did not say to you to do 7 times. He said, but I'm telling you to get forgiven 70 times 7. What does that mean? I know somebody says, that's 490. What are you doing, Kevin? Well, I said, he got 3 more. No, that's not what he's talking about. That is not what he's talking about. The principle here is that it keeps on giving. It keeps on forgiving. How does that happen? Every time you remember, you forgive somebody for something and all of a sudden it comes up in your mind. Have you ever had that before? You ever forgive something and it comes back to your mind? You know who's reminding you of it? The enemy is. So what are you going to do when it comes back up again? When it comes back up in your feelings, when it comes back up in your thoughts, what are you going to do with it? Jesus said, forgive them. That's forgiving emotionally. So when it comes up, you don't have any more right to it because you've already forgiven it, so forgive it again. And then if they do it again, you forgive them again. Now, let me tell you this. It is not, forgiveness is different than trust. Forgiveness is different than trust. So we look at this and we see that, okay, well-being and this thing about forgiveness is an ongoing process. And then it says forgiveness is well doing good for your offender. Do good to them. Do good to them. That goes along with that blessing. Don't insult them. Don't get back at them. One of the worst things we do is argue about it. I know I'm right, so I'm going to argue about it. Brenda told me one time years ago, she said, there's one problem that you have. And I said, just one? You know, she said, there's a problem that you have. And I said, what is it? She said, you think you're always right. And in my mind, I'm saying, yep. But I'm not always right. I'm not always right. So you begin to understand that this thing about forgiveness is huge. I'm halfway in my message and I got to stop. Because I got a whole list of things that forgiveness is not, which will help you and I about forgiving. But see, this is the thing that God says. We need to learn to forgive. We need to understand it. We need to learn to forgive. Release. And trust will come when they have proven themselves to be trustworthy. If somebody violates you life or comes into a break, you know, or if a friend steals something from you, are you with me? Steals something from you. You can forgive them, but what? I ain't gonna turn them loose in my house again. Not until what? Not until it's proven that there has been a change in their life. See, our part is to forgive. Their part is to repent. When you offend somebody, your part is to repent. I remember, I'm going to close, but I remember in my life, been years and years ago, I was asking the Lord about Lord, I really want to walk with you in the purest kind of way that I possibly can, and He gave me two jobs to do. I want you to do two journals, and I don't like journals, so no, I want you to do two. I want you to write down everybody. I want you to write down everybody that has helped you in your life to become who you are today. I don't want you to go thank them. And I began to write down everybody. I mean, when I was a little kid, I remember people came to my, and he said, go find them and tell them how grateful you are for sowing into your life. Great, awesome. What's journal number two, God? I'm ready, I've got this. He said, to everybody that you've done wrong. Everybody that you hadn't responded right, I want you to write their name down and I want you to go make it right. You know, that was two things that was probably the most fruitful time in my life. I remember going to some people and I said, listen, I need to ask you to forgive me. And I'll bring it up. They said, I don't even remember that. I said, I do. And I need to ask you to forgive me. See, forgiveness is not an apology. One of the things that forgiveness is not you waiting for an apology. Well, I'll forgive them when they apologize. They may never apologize. I'm preaching part two and I got to quit. Forgiveness. This is a message that we all need. We all need to live out. Remember, while you and I were yet still sinners, forgiveness was paid for. My forgiveness was paid for. And so was yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you for your forgiveness. Give us a heart, once again, that is wide open to you, even in the form of forgiving other people that have wronged us. Give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the love, and give us the words to live out and reflect and be who you are to others on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Next week we're going to be talking about what forgiveness is not. Okay, who's coming up? Pastor John.
All right. Just have a few announced reminders. This Saturday, September the 13th at 10 o'clock, the sisters, the Cluster Anointing will be this Saturday. And if you haven't signed up, please sign up today at the Information Center. And they do have some more information for you back there at the Information Center. Also, we want to pray for Jim Barrett II, he's going to be having surgery in the morning. Is that correct? And also, we want to pray, continue to pray for Keisha Green, okay? So if you would, let's just stand and we'll pray and then we'll dismiss, okay? Father, we just bring these to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you so much for your word that's already went forth. So, Father, we pray for Jim Barrett II, Lord God, that you would just work a miracle in his life, Father. God, let this be a testimony unto you, Father. And, God, we just thank you for healing his body. And, God, we thank you for those that will be administering, Lord, to his body, Lord, the doctors and the nurses, Lord. We just pray, God, for them. And, Lord, we lift up Keisha, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in her life. Father, we thank you for complete healing with those burns, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we depart from this place, never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.